Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Commitment to Courage, the show that inspires you to choose a life of victory. Call in at 347-637-2274. Now here is your host, the woman you've been hearing about, Pauline Victoria.
Welcome to Commitment to Courage. This is your host, Pauline Victoria, and I want to thank you all for listening to this show and always being a supportive follower, and hope that I am providing you with lots of inspiration through different affirmations that I give and stories that I highlight on my radio show. Today, I am excited to have a really good friend of mine. But before I go into my guest, I wanted to read a story of inspiration that I received. You know, you hear often stories of inspiration or quotes, and it inspires you, but I also think it's important to share it with others to give them a feeling of inspiration. So today, it was given to me by Bob Proctor, and it was highlighted from a book by Max Lucado from the book called On the Anvil. And it's called Today I Will Make a Difference. And when I think about this, I thought how appropriate, because this is in words what my guest is going to be talking about today. So today I will make a difference. Today I will make a difference. I will begin by controlling my thoughts. A person is the product of his thoughts. I want to be happy and hopeful. Therefore, I will have thoughts that are happy and hopeful. I refuse to be victimized by my circumstances. I will not let petty inconveniences such as stoplights, long lines, and traffic jams be my masters. I will avoid negativism and gossip. Optimism will be my companion, and victory will be my hallmark. Today, I will make a difference. I will be grateful for the 24 hours that are before me. Time is a precious commodity. I refuse to allow what little time I have to be contaminated by self-pity, anxiety, or boredom. I will face this day with the joy of a child and the courage of a giant. I will drink each minute as though it is my last. When tomorrow comes, today will be gone forever. While it is here, I will use it for loving and giving. Today, I will make a difference. I will not let past failures haunt me, even though my life is scarred with mistakes. I refuse to rummage through my trash heap of failures. I will admit them. I will correct them. I will press on victoriously. No failure is fatal. It's okay to stumble. I will get up. It's okay to fail. I will rise again. Today, I will make a difference. And that, in these words, is what I believe my guest, Ivan Altamirano, embodies. He is all about taking action to make things happen. And I am so excited to have him here today. Ivan, are you there?
I'm here, Pauline.
Great. Before we get into asking you questions and delving into your life, I want to give our listeners a little bit of background on who Ivan is. Ivan, like I said, is the personification of overcoming obstacles to creating amazing results. Although he struggled in his youth with difficulties at home and gang relations, Ivan never ceased to be the number one in every venture he embarked on. Whether it was karate as a youth or an MLM recruiter, Ivan has achieved whatever he has set his mind on. He is highly active in his own personal development and transformation so that he can empower others to realize and live out their passion. Ivan plays many roles. He's founded Energy Creative Enterprises in 2009 with his partner Cynthia Gambino Calderon. He is a certified life coach, a motivational speaker. He's a member of the Les Brown Platinum Speakers Network. He's a community activist with the City Planning Commissioner and a member of the board of directors of the nonprofit organization called Atlantic Recovery Services. He's a husband and he is a father. But no matter what he's done in his life, throughout his life, the thread that runs through who Ivan is and every action Ivan takes is determination to live a life of leadership and making a difference. I want to welcome Ivan to Commitment to Courage. And, you know, Ivan and I met back, oh gosh, in June of 2009. It's been over a year. Can you believe that, Ivan?
I can't, you know, time flies. It's really fast. I mean, it actually seems like I've known you a long, long time. But yet, I remember crossing your path for the first time in June.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, when you meet someone and it feels, even though you've known each other for a short time, it feels like you've known each other forever. It's like kindred spirits coming back together again.
It is. It is. I feel like you're my family.
Yes, me too. I know Ivan actually brought me, you know, what I read about his bio and everything that Ivan has done in his life, what I associate Ivan with is someone who gets things done. I know when you and I, we first met in June, but really didn't get a chance to talk so much until September of 2009 when we met through the Les Brown, through a Les Brown seminar, and you and I met, and we got to get to know each other a little bit more in September, and then again a little, and then a lot more in December. But you said from the very beginning, you and I are going to speak on the same stage one day. And sure enough, you made it happen. And I always remember that. You always make things happen.
Yep,
I am so impressed by that. What motivates you to make things happen like that? And, you know, I have several questions about that. But first of all, what motivates you to make things happen?
Well, it's weird because when I want something, Pauline, I mean, it's weird because I will go out and get it, okay? Now, if it's a short little goal, a short journey, I can focus on it and I just go for it. You know, and everybody has this within themselves. It's like a power, invisible power that once you focus on it, it's like nothing can get in your way. But then again, I mean, I tend to lose focus sometimes, and I'm just so fortunate and lucky that I surround myself around a lot of powerful people that remind me, and then I can get back on my goals.
Yes, and, you know, I just want to give people a little taste about what things you've made happen. You know, one of the things, like I just mentioned, is that we have spoken on a stage together already. We did that in May for a fundraiser for Atlantic Recovery Services, which was an amazing experience, and you made that happen. But you also, you know, one of the things that you, which I think has been pivotal in your life, is you made a choice to, you know, make a difference by speaking to other people, by motivating people. And one of the steps in doing that was finding mentorship through Les Brown. And can you tell us a little bit of that story so people get an idea of what powerhouse I have on the line here? About how you wanted to meet Les Brown and all of that.
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, it all started about 7 years ago, Pauline. I started to do self-development, and I didn't know that I was doing self-development. It all started with me just picking up a book. I read a book. The first book that I really read towards self-development was The Science of Getting Rich. I read that book, but I was like, wow, this is a cool book. Then the second book that I read was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But when I read that book, I decided to take action. I mean, I literally quit my job. I mean, I was working for an air conditioning company, and I was there about 6 years, making $35 an hour. And at that point, even though I was making pretty good money, I was making $70,000 to $80,000 a year, I wasn't saving any money, Pauline. I mean, I literally was living paycheck for paycheck. And I remember the day that I quit, it was, what, October 2008. I quit my job, and I remember getting home. I looked at my bank account, and I only had about $30 in my bank account. So at that point, I knew that I made a mistake. But then again, I know that everything happens for a reason. And that reason, if I would have had a lot of money in my bank account, then I wouldn't really take, like, massive action. But I knew that I had to take massive action. And so I decided to start my own business right then and there. Actually, I'm sorry, was that, yeah, 2008. When I started my business was 2005. I apologize. 2005, October, is when I started my business. And at that point, when I took massive action, I was knocking door to door, and I was asking for work, but I was telling the business owners that I was a huge company and that I had about 20 to 30 employees, and they would ask me, well, why aren't you here? And I said, because I'd like to take care of my customers, and I'm here to take care of you. So I started to get a lot of work. And in the first year, Pauline, I brought in about $700,000 worth of work, and that was by myself.
$700,000?
Yes, but from October 2005 to, I think, like February, March of 2006, I almost lost everything because I wasn't making any money. So I couldn't even buy my kids Christmas presents that December of 2005. And I felt so bad. I mean, but I had made a decision that day that would never happen to me again. And I remember when I was in a point that I was going to lose my house. I was losing my cars and something, just all the work that I started to do, I wasn't giving up. It just all started to come together. So from March 2006 to the end of December 2006 is when I brought in almost $700,000. And at that point, I started to hire people, and I started to feel like I was making a difference. I wanted to make a significant difference, so I hired people, and I was making a difference in their family. But it came to a point that I realized, I said, you know, something's missing here. I think I can make a bigger difference, but what is it? How can I do this? So I started to do a lot more self-development, listening to different speakers, listening to Tony Robbins, and I said, whoa, I want to share the stage with Tony Robbins. And at that, I had planted seeds in my mind, and I had made a decision that I was going to make a bigger difference in the world, which was creating peace and having solutions for hunger. And I said, how can I do this? The only way I can do this is if I speak, if I go out and speak for the world. So I had my target and my eyes on Tony Robbins, But what ended up happening was I went to a multi-level marketing seminar that they had about 3,000 people there. And the reason why I went, one of my friends said, you got to come hear this speaker. His name's Les Brown. This was in 2008, December. And I didn't know who Les Brown was. It was probably about 2 hours away from me, and I said, wow, really? I mean, do I really want to go drive out there to see somebody that I never heard of? And he said, you have to go, Ivan, you just have to. And I knew that something was like calling me to go. Oh, and I just knew that I had to be there. So I ended up going. And when I heard him speak, I felt like he was speaking to me. I sat way in the back, and I just felt like he was speaking to me. At the end, I remember his words. He said, there's somebody here that I need to connect with. There's somebody here that I will connect with. It might not be today, but I'm telling you, I will connect with you. And at that point, I knew that he was speaking to me. I made up in my mind at that moment that he spoke to me. So that landed for me. And I quickly went to the back, and I waited. I wanted to buy some of his CDs, and I tried to talk to him, and there was too many people, so I couldn't even talk to him. And I was, like, really excited, but I ended up just buying some of his CDs, and I listened every day, going every day. I was really determined, and I had made the decision that I was going to share the stage with him. But when I made that decision, my life, once again, started to fall apart, Pauline. Everything. my relationships started to go bad. My business started to really bad. I mean, the economy, I kind of got enrolled into the economy stuff, and we started to lose a lot of business. And my employees, I started to lose my employees. So everything just went kind of south. But I kept on believing. I kept on, every day, I kept on believing and knowing that this is what I'm going to do. And then my house went into foreclosure. They repossessed my cars. I got judgments with garnishments. They froze my bank accounts. And I literally, this was in the beginning of June. I was going to give up. I mean, I had said, forget this. I'm just going to get a job. Forget me being a motivational speaker. I give up. But what ended up happening right when I said that, about 2 or 3 days later, I had got a phone call about a seminar that Les was going to have. And that's where I met you. I met you there. I met Clifton Anderson there. And, yeah, I remembered that day. It was a very powerful day because that day, Les Brown, I mean, a couple days after that, Les Brown called me and said, I need to speak to you. And I met him for lunch, and he said, listen, let's put a seminar together. I see that you're fighting for your dream. Yeah, we're gonna call it Fight for Your Dream. You have 21 days to do this. So I said, okay, no problem. And the first, 11 days, Pauline, I didn't know what I was doing. I only had about 2 or 3 people to get to my event. So the event was canceled. And luckily, Star, when she called me and said, this is canceled, Star Babatun, I said, Star, please give me a chance. I can do this. She said, no, Les wants now 200 people there, or he's not going to show up. He said, you're tippy-toeing to your dream. I said, I can do this, please. So I kept my eyes on the goal and the target, and I didn't give up. And I ended up getting 320 people there, which was very, very powerful for me. It proved to me that, listen, if I can do this, anybody can do this. And I ended up pulling my house out of foreclosure, getting my cars back, satisfying my judgments, just with that seminar.
Wow.
Because of the, yeah, so I knew that I was on track. I knew that I had discovered and I found my purpose.
Wow. So, you know, for those of you that are listening to Ivan's story, you have to understand that he is an extremely powerful man that I have here, and I'm so honored to have him not only on Commitment to Courage, but also in my life, because if you want things to get done, he gets it done. And you know what? It seems like your life has kind of followed that pattern. It goes up and down, and all our lives go up and down. There's this roller coaster ride. Sometimes you're down, sometimes you're up, or some people refer it to the Ferris wheel. You know, sometimes you're on top, and sometimes you're on the bottom. And when you've been on the bottom, you know, you mentioned, well, I know that your youth life wasn't full of candy and roses, you know, it was difficult, and you did get involved in some gang-related activities, but you pulled yourself out of that. You know, there's a lot of people that may have been involved in some, you know, their histories and may have been, like it said in that, what I read earlier, scarred with mistakes. How did you pull yourself out of that?
You know, that was another difficult situation that I was in, Pauline. When I was in a gang when I was 15 years old till my I was about 17, almost 18 years old when I ended up getting out of the gang. But during that time, I was in karate for about 6-7 years, and so by the time I was 16 years old, 17, I was still in karate, but. But what ended up happening was my karate teacher that I respect so much ended up asking me to leave because I started to use my karate outside of the dojo, which is out of the room. And you're not supposed to. You use it for self-defense, and they teach you their respect and honor and discipline. And I started to use it out in when I go out and fight and hang out with my friends. And a lot of times, I mean, I got shot at. And, I mean, I am so fortunate and lucky to be alive, Pauline. I ended up going to jail just for a short amount of time. It was like 15, 20 days. I was on probation because my friend stole the car and I got in. So they got me for joyriding. And my probation officer, he believed in me. When he put me in jail for just that short period of time, he put me in a unit where people were doing over 20 years. So I started to see the young people that they just did not care. And I started to, within those 2 weeks, I started to ask them questions, and I started to discover that they didn't have any hope. Where they grew up, their families, you know, they had to work, so they were never around their parents. And I just started to say, wow, well, man, what can I do? I need to get out of this. I'll never do this again. And I ended up getting out, and I ended up dropping out of high school. So when I was about to turn 18 years old, I made a decision because I had a daughter at 17 years old, and today she's 19. And I made a decision. I said, you know, I really need to get out of this. So I talked to a lot of the gang members that were my friends that I was involved with, and I said, listen, I'm really getting out, and I've known them all my life since kindergarten. So some of them accepted the fact that I was leaving. A lot of them didn't, and it was pretty hard because I created instant enemies right then and there, but I chose to deal with it. And I just, from there, I mean, I had to go to school and fix everything that I did. I had to get my GED, and then I had to go to college up into Los Angeles Trade Technical School and College, and I had to get my AS degree, and I had to get into a trade, which I got into air conditioning. So it was very difficult, and the best thing to do is, I think one of the reasons why I chose to join a gang is because I was looking for significance, to make a difference. And I remember when I joined, I within a few months, I was one of the leaders of that big gang in East Los Angeles. And they just, it's not worth it, really, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's really not. So today I talked to a lot of teenagers, and Cynthia Gambino and myself, we've actually spoke at a school. We speak at schools, and I'm fortunate that I'm also involved with Richard Ciampa, which owns Atlantic Recovery Services, which is a company we spoke for. And he deals with a lot of gang stuff and drugs, and so I'm really fortunate that I surround myself with these powerful people.
Right, and so it's like you got to use those experiences to now go out and make a difference. And, you know, a lot of people want that. They want to know that they matter. They want to know that they're significant, like you said, and that's one of the reasons. And I think it's good that you can now see that's that you just wanted to be significant. And, you know, you hear a lot of people, they want attention, and they just want, you know, sometimes if you can't get, you strive to get bad attention, but either way, it's attention. So, you know, if people want to feel that significance, they want to know that they can make a difference, and they want to know that they matter, what kind of avenue could they take in order to do that, you know, so they don't have to take the route of gangs and other types of behavior that might lead to destruction?
Well, I know that there's a lot of programs out there. And that, like Richard Ciampa, he has a lot of programs out of like Long Beach and Los Angeles area. And he has a lot of programs for teenagers that are able to go to his facilities. And it's kind of like a teen center. They have a lot of activities there. They have a lot of counselors. So they're able to surround themselves around people that want to make a difference. And they're led by these leaders that really care about them and love them and have them do activities and take them on trips. So it really, and just like Les Brown said, sometimes you got to take a look at your relationships, and then it's time to detoxify your relationships. You got to take a look at who you're hanging out with, because whoever you're hanging out with, you will eventually become that. So you really got to take a good look at your surroundings, because you have a choice on who you hang out with, and sometimes it can be painful. I've asked a lot of my friends not to come around me, because their way of living and doing drugs and the way they talk was negative stuff, and I couldn't be around that. I had to continue to feed myself with positive things, and sometimes you've got to detoxify them, and it sometimes hurts to do that, but it's a leap. So I recommend really looking into the community where you live, because they offer programs. They have a lot of things for teenagers. They also have some very powerful programs, some transformational companies that actually deal with teenagers. And one of the most powerful transformational companies that I've dealt with is called MITT, Mastery in Transformational Company. A woman that started this company probably about 10 years ago, Margot Majdi, and she has a company and some programs that's called the Torch Foundation or the Champions, and it's for teenagers. And I've seen the huge, significant differences made in teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And also finding a mentor, someone that has been through some stuff, and then these teenagers can look up to and actually sit down with them and tell them everything, and that they'll know that they matter.
Right, and I, you know, this goes for adults too. MITT is also for adults, and you know, adults, even though they may not have gone down the more difficult path as youth. As you become adults, you just kind of fall into this, I'm just going to, like you were, you know, I'm just going to get a job, I'm going to give up on me and just take care, you know, to survive. And we fall into this ho-hum type of life, and we forget that that inner calling and that urge that you felt so strongly when you heard Les Brown and had made that choice for your life. And adults fall into that all the time. And, you know, what could you, like you said, surround yourself with like-minded people is important. Is there any other type of advice or suggestions you might want to give adults that might be feeling like there's no point, let me just survive this life and buy another day until I die?
Yes, I do. I really, really do. If you truly are ready to make a difference in your life, and this is where I met most of the leaders, and it is that company called MITT. You can, it's online. I think the actual website is mittraining.com. And if you truly want to have hope in your life, if you truly want to make a difference in you, then I would suggest taking this training. It's cut down like in three parts, and you choose which ones you want to take, and they're so powerful. This is where I met most of the leaders that are actually making a difference in the world. And I know that you've actually been in transformational training yourself. And what I see now is that a lot of people that take this training are making their families work. They're making their communities work. They're out there creating peace. I know a bunch of them, a lot of people that are traveling the world and making a difference, like in Africa and the Middle East. And it's amazing to see this. It really is. And I mean, so I suggest that you truly look into a transformational company if you truly want to make a difference in it. And it's not for people that are broken. It's to fix within yourself, to become powerful, to discover who you truly are. I would recommend this.
Okay, and what if they don't have that near them? I mean, what do you have any suggestions of, you know, you I assume want to be a worldwide motivational speaker. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
So you know, you might be going to different parts of the United States or third world countries, and you're out there to make a difference and give them hope. And, you know, you're going, you know, the MITT made a huge difference in your life, but now you can take principles and universal truths that you've learned either through MITT or through your own life experiences, and you're going out there and you are encouraging them and motivating them and inspiring them to believe in themselves again. What could you say to them that will help inspire them to believe in their dreams again, and life is not just about surviving anymore? You know, like you said, you had such an urge and a calling on your heart that you were willing to give up so much you know, and even when you're about to lose it all, your relationships, your house, your cars, you still believed. That there's a power in that. There's something in there that is so important that people want, that they need to cling to. Can you speak to that at all about that?
No, well, what I can say about that, I mean, I know that right now there's a lot of people dealing with money issues with the economy, and they're struggling, and they're just surviving. But the thing is that you got to really now start to watch when you get inside your car. This is what I did, and I did this every single day, Pauline. That I started to get up in the morning, and then I started to monitor my thoughts. I started to see what I was thinking, what I was telling myself. So you really got to watch what you tell yourself, okay? And so in the morning, I would monitor my thoughts, and sometimes I would catch myself telling myself, you know what, I can't do this. I might as well just give up. I might as well just go get a job, and I can't do this. I'm not worthy. I can't, you know, I can't handle this. There's people out there that can do it. I can't do it. So then, because I was monitoring my thoughts on purpose, I was really focusing and present to it, I would just switch it, and I would stop, and I would ask myself, why am I doing this? And what I did here was that there was a study done, and I think I heard this with Les Brown. I've also heard it with other teachers and mentors, that I think 80% of what you're thinking is negative. And we only 20% or it was 13% that we are aware of. So you really got to monitor it and switch it up. So then when you get into your car, you got to now watch what you're listening to. Because like they say, you are what you eat. Well, you are what you listen to. So if you get in the car and you're listening to negativity, and sometimes you don't even know the words, you're not even present to the songs or to the news, and you're just driving and you're thinking, but whatever is being said, it's being fed into your mind. And so whatever, that's what you're learning from it. So what I started to do is I started to put in some CDs that were actually teaching me something or inspiring me. And then whatever was coming in was coming out, and I started to see huge results. I mean, I stopped for a period of time, say about a month. I stopped listening to motivational CDs or inspiring CDs. Then I started to see a difference. I started to start, my mind starts to become a little more negative, and I start to slow down, and I don't take massive action. So I would really, really monitor, just try to monitor your thoughts every morning, or actually not try, just do it. And also just to watch what you're really listening to. And also know that you are a difference to the world. So it doesn't really matter where you are in the world or where you are in your life right now. You are a difference. Because it's like I said before, that life is like a pond. You throw a pebble and it's going to create a ripple effect. So whatever you do, it's going to impact the world. And it starts with your house. Whatever you do in your household with your kids, remember, your kids are going to go to take you to the school. You're going to go out into the street. You're going to go out to work. So it's going to impact. It's a ripple effect. So watch your way of being. I drive around. Sometimes I see some people. I'm not sure if they're calling me number one or if they're flipping me off on the freeway sometimes. And to me, I smile at them and I wave at them. And then some people think I'm crazy because I don't get angry. And because I choose not to get angry. You know, I don't know what they just went through. So I'm not going to feed into their negativity. So if I feed them positively, then they're going to now start to ask themselves a question and ask, well, what happened? Why did this guy get mad? And then they're going to start to calm down. And I noticed that one of the reasons people get angry, they choose to get angry. It's only you who can control it. It's you who can control your thoughts. I heard many times you can't control your first thought, but you could control your second.
Got it. Very, very good. So it's really up to you. It's your choice on how you think and how you feel. And I think it's important. What goes in will come out. And Les will say that trash in, trash out all the time, because he's both of our mentors. And speaking about mentors, it sounds like you've learned a lot from various teachers, and I'm going to ask you a question about mentors, but after that, before you answer, we're going to go to break. But before we go to break, who has been your biggest mentor and why? But before you answer that, let me go to a quick break. We'll be back.
Does this show resonate with you? Do you have a message you'd like to share on this show? Would you like to be featured on this radio show as a sponsor? If so, contact Pauline directly through her website at www.paulinevictoria.com. And now, back to the show, Commitment to Courage with Pauline Victoria.
Great. We're back with Ivan Altamirano. Ivan, do you have a website that you want to send people to?
Right now, what Cynthia Gambino and myself are working on is our company, Energy Creative Enterprises, and we're working on the website, but you can find us on Facebook on Energy Creative Enterprises. Energy is I-N-N-E-R-G-Y, Energy Creative Enterprises.
Yes, yes. And I love how the acronym is ICE, but not the bad ICE.
That's right.
Exactly. So Energy, I-N-N-E-R-G-Y, Creative Enterprises. You can find them on Facebook. And they're an amazing team, and I'm so excited because down the road we'll be interviewing both Cynthia and then both of you together in the future to get more information about what it is you all do. But before that, we're coming back to the question I'd asked you before the break about who has been your biggest mentor and why.
Well, if I need to answer one, I mean, I have many and I can tell you about all of them. But if I can tell you just about one mentor, one person that has really, really taught me, I would say my father. I would really, really say my father. Mm-hmm. Now, my father came from Mexico City. He was 15 years old when he got to the United States. And my mother's from Cuba. She came from Cuba when she was about 10. But I would say my father because as I was growing up, I remember him always telling me. He moved into not speaking any English at all. They moved into an area in Los Angeles, called Watts. And I remember in the 1960s, there was a huge riot that broke out there, and he had to move from there into another city now called Whittier, and that's where they settled. But he went through a lot. He went through a lot, and he saw gangs, and he saw drugs and everything here in the United States. So as I was growing up, he was a hard worker. He sent me to a private Catholic school and just making ends meet, Pauline. I mean, this man I admire so much because I have one sister and two brothers, and he was struggling and working and you know, out there just to provide us the education that we needed. And he would always tell me, Ivan, don't join a gang. Ivan, don't do drugs. This is what's going to happen when you turn this age, and then you're going to start to hang out with these type of people, this is going to happen. So he forewarned me all this, even though I rebelled because I thought he didn't know what he was talking about. You know, for teenagers, we think our parents don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought. But he really, really, everything that he's told me, it really stuck with me. You know, and he taught me the value of family, and I got to grow up around my grandparents, and I got to see this huge family that was united. So once I started to get into my 20s, my early 20s, is when all the teaching and mentoring that he did for me, it started now to come alive, and I started to live that and apply it into my life. So I would say my father. I mean, my father still calls me today and gives me advice, and he says, Ivan, I don't like to give you advice because you're a grown man. But I'm going to give you advice, and I welcome it, and I actually enjoy it, you know, because that's one thing that I've always done, Pauline, and I still do today. I love to sit down with my elders, and because they have so much wisdom. I love to ask them questions, and I write down their answers, and it's it's amazing the answers they have. So the biggest mentor I've had in my life, I would say my father.
Wow. Well, hopefully Les Brown's not listening to this. No, I'm kidding.
Now, Les Brown's, he's made a tremendous difference in my life, and he's a mentor in a whole different level, whole different way. So, yeah, I honor the man. I honor the man. So I do consider him my mentor in a different level. I'm so open, Pauline, that actually the people that surround me, I see them as my teachers. Richard Ciampa is one of them. I call him my mentor, but he calls me his mentor. I have things that I have within myself that he doesn't have, and he has many things that I'm looking for. So when we're around each other, we're learning from each other. Also, Cynthia Gambino, I love to be around her because of the things she does for me. She inspires me and motivates me. And then when I start to forget what I'm supposed to be doing, she reminds me, and sometimes she has a way of reminding me that I need to take action. So she's also like a mentor to me, her and Richard, and we're actually working on a book. Cynthia Gambino and I, we're working on many books right now, but we just finished two of them. One's called Life Happened, So Now What? And it probably has about 200 questions that it will empower you, that will actually have you think. So I've used books as mentors. Everybody around me is a teacher, Pauline, including yourself. I've learned so much from you, and that's why I brought you to Los Angeles to share the stage.
And I think that thank you so much for that, and right back at you. And I think that's an important lesson to note for people that are listening to this right now, is that you must remain open in order to receive lessons or wisdom from other people's experiences, because I believe that it's impossible for one person alone, me or you, to learn all the lessons in the world. But individually we learn certain lessons, and we have certain gifts and talents and blessings, and we can use those to complement and strengthen each other as a collective. And I think that's so important to make note of right here, because what you said is extremely important for people. And I think oftentimes we allow pride to get in the way of us being able to ask for help or being open to be receiving help, because like you did as a teenager, you think you know it all and you don't need to listen to the advice of your father. So I think that's important. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
Like I read in the beginning, you have accomplished so much in your life. And, I look at that list of things that you're doing and you've done in your life, and I know we're about the same age, and I feel like, gosh, I haven't done anything in my life, but you've done so much. What if you had to choose one, or, maybe I didn't mention it in that bio, but what is your proudest achievement in life?
My proudest achievement? That's kind of hard. I would say when I discovered my purpose. I mean, even though I have my family work, and I have three kids today, and I'm happy that I have everybody together. But I would say that I discovered my purpose, and I was able to achieve what I achieved in such a little time, declaring that I would share this. The stage with one of the most popular speakers in the world, and within 6 months, I made that happen. I'm very, very proud of that. I mean, I sometimes when I'm discouraged and I stop believing in myself, I go back to that and I take a look at it, and wow. I say, wow, I really did it. And even though in your life, if things are falling apart, if it seems like it's falling apart, I know Les Brown and Larry D'Angi told me that sometimes that happens because you're at the bottom of your new higher level, and it seems like you're failing, but you're not. You're just at the bottom of a new higher level. And I was there. So that me being able to leap and achieve what I achieved that within those months was powerful. And that allows for me to stay in my power and continue to do what I do.
Wow, I love that. You're at the bottom of your higher level. I never heard that before. Gosh, it really changes your perspective of when you're struggling and just knowing that, well, I'm just at the bottom. It's like being a freshman again at high school and then being a freshman in college. And, you know, it's just the bottom of the next level. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, when I first told Les Brown, when I first met him for lunch, and I said, okay, this is what I'm going through, and he starts to laugh at me, and I asked him, well, what are you laughing at? I mean, really, this is a bad situation I'm in, and he said, I'm laughing. He said, I'm laughing because you're at the bottom of your new higher level. But he said that if I don't continue to take action, then I will go back to the level that I was at, and I will continue to have problems. So he said that I now must now fight for my dream, so I have to keep going. So that made a lot of sense when he told me that, and now that's the way I see it. Each time I'm struggling, and now I take a look at what level I'm at now. Where am I at now? So I continue to achieve and take action.
Wow.
And in order to overcome tremendous odds, I mean, you must be willing to take risks. You have to take risks.
Yeah.
And know that if you fail, it's not really failure. It's really, you're just getting closer.
Right. But what do you say to those people who are just too scared to take the risks? They don't know if they can, if they'll fail, if they'll succeed, if, you know, if they'll look stupid.
Okay. And I would say to hire a life coach. Now, because even if you're successful, Tiger Woods and a lot of powerful athletes, they hire coaches. So wherever you are in your life, the same thinking that got you there, it doesn't have the same thinking that's going to get you out, right? I heard that before. So you got to have someone that can look from the outside in and then can take a look at what's missing. Like in Wizard of Oz, the lion was missing courage, right? But he's always had it within himself. You have all the tools. There is no magic pill. Trust me, you have it all. But sometimes it takes somebody to say something, or sometimes it takes a coach to guide you to that. And then you discover within yourself, you know that you have it, and then you'll be empowered. So definitely, I mean, I'm a life coach, and I said, I don't need a life coach, right? But Cynthia Gambino said, listen, she told me, listen, you need to hire a life coach. And I was like, well, okay. So I hired a life coach, and then I started to realize, like, wow, it's a big difference, you know, so. It truly, truly does make a big difference.
Yeah, I think more than anything, the life coach gives you the opportunity to see something from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's important, too, is to understand that there's always a different way of looking at things. What inspires you?
You know, the simplest things inspire me, you know, Pauline, because I want to... I'm making a difference in the world, and what really inspires me is to see people that I've crossed their path, and then I see them in 6 months, a year, or 5 years, I see them, and then they come to me and tell me, Ivan, you know what you told me this day really changed the course of my life, and now I do this, and now I'm doing this. That really, really, really inspires me. I love to give. I remember many times, sometimes I only have $20 to my name and I have $20 in my pocket. I would give it to someone in the streets that would need the money. And because I would look at him and say, wow, he's less fortunate than I am. But I would ask myself, well, that's my last $20. I need to put some gas in the car. Like, what am I going to do? But, and I don't go brag about that I give. Now with the cities that I live in, there isn't too many homeless, there can't be homeless people there, okay, because the police does not allow that, the city doesn't allow that, but there is one man that lives there. He lives in the streets, and I know him by his first name. His name is Rex. I stop, I give him money, I talk to him, and he used to walk around with his head down. Now he walks with his head up, and now he's starting to change the way he dressed. I seen him yesterday, and I seen he's in clean clothes, and I inspired him to... He's an artist. He started to draw again, and now he's drawing crowds to him, and now he's getting money, and he's thanked me and said, Ivan, listen, I want to thank you because now I'm starting to change my thinking, and now I'm going to now start to focus to get out of the streets and back into a house. And it, that stuff inspires me. If I can say something that will make a tremendous difference in your life, and then you're going to make a difference in the world, that's all that matters.
Wow. My heart is extremely touched right now, because what you said, you know, we all have dreams about making it be, like you said in the very beginning, being significant, knowing we make a difference. But sometimes our egos get in the way of thinking that the only way we can make a difference is in the big ways. But you talking to that one man that the rest of the world has forgotten and inspired him to live again and do art, which will probably inspire many, many other people, that is so, so huge. And I think it's important to understand that no matter who we talk to in our lives, we could say the smallest thing, and for them, even though we didn't know it, it was significant to them. And so
it was. And Pauline, I remember the first interaction I had with them, because I would take my kids to the park and I would see him walk and nobody would talk to him. And that's what the problem is, that we start to ignore people like that. And I remember I bought him a cup of coffee at Starbucks and I sat him down and then I said, "Listen, man, how did you get here? I want to know what happened." And he started to tell me the story and he started to tell me how he was an artist. Well, his art, and 6 months ago when I saw some of his art, and I approached him at the park and I was talking to him, then more people started to approach him because it was like an invitation that it was safe. Then people started to buy his drawings right then and there. And I walked away slowly without him noticing. But I love to create stuff, and then I will go somewhere else and go work on something else and make a difference somewhere else. I don't need to be there and take any credit because I have nothing to do with me. I'm being used as a vessel, as a vehicle to make a difference in the world, and that's what I'm being used for.
Wow. You are a beautiful soul, Ivan. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Okay. We're about to close on our show right now, but do you have any words of wisdom you'd like to share around courage?
I do. Now, in order to stay within your power, because if all you really need to do is believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, then you will have the courage to be able to do anything, because the truth is you can do anything. If we can get a spaceship on the moon, trust me, you can do anything. One thing to continue to stay there, though, is four things that I would always do. I do this all the time, Pauline, is first of all, I invest in myself. That's one. I invest in myself. Invest in your mind. You can, however that is, you can read books, you can listen to CDs, go to seminars, go to workshops. The second thing is visualize yourself in your dream, or visualize yourself accomplishing your goal. If it's just to buy a car or pay your phone bill, just visualize yourself doing it. You can start with small things. If you start to actually feel it, then you'll start to live it. The third thing is accountability. Hold yourself accountable, but also have a couple of people that you truly trust that are on the same route to achieve their goals and dreams, to hold you accountable. If they see that you're off track, to come give you feedback, whatever they need to do in order to get you back on track. That's accountability. And also what Churchill, Winston Churchill, he said, never give up. So know those four things. Invest in yourself, visualize yourself, hold yourself accountable, and never give up, ever.
Yes. And I got that, Ivan. Everybody, that is Ivan. Invest in yourself, visualize, be accountable, so accountability, and never give up. That is Ivan in a nutshell, if we had to choose words to put to him. But I know, Ivan, now, oh, my gosh, I hope everybody that's listening to this right now, your soul is touched by his, because as you can hear, he is an amazing man with a lot of power and is going to do huge things in this world to make a difference in many, many lives, and hopefully he made a difference in your life today. So with that, we're going to close the show. Thank you, Ivan, for being here. Again, if you want to learn more about Ivan and the company he is involved in with Cynthia, you can go to Facebook and look up Energy Creative Enterprises. Again, Energy is spelled I-N-N-E-R-G-Y, Creative Enterprises. And I'm assuming that you guys are available to speak or, you know, can give interviews. And of course, you have books coming out, so we want to get as much attraction to your guys' page as possible so you guys can know what's up with them, because they're about to make a huge difference in this world. So thank you so much, Ivan, for being here. And thank you all to who have listened to this program today. Have a beautiful and blessed day. And again, you can come to Commitment to Courage every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern. So we'll see you next Monday. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you, Pauline.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Courage. To learn more about Pauline Victoria, visit www.paulinevictoria.com and sign up to receive free updates. Be sure to tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 4 p.m. Eastern. And remember, as you continue to live your life and as you listen in each Monday, know that you always have the courage within you to live a life of victory.